Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm just so glad right this moment. But anyway, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. Thank God for those that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you joining us here on today on the Prospering Souls broadcast. Just so thankful for, you know, just for life itself and God's sustaining power, God's keeping power, God's provision. I thank God for it, because if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, well, we don't even know where we would be, but I'm just so grateful about it. So I've been studying in the book of studying, because we're talking about commitment is what we're talking about. But before we do that, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. And I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, Lord, that you are our keeper and you are our strength, God. Lord, I bless your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. You are our God. Hallelujah, Lord. You're omnipotent and omnipresent. You're omniscient. You are the sovereign God. I thank you, Father. I glorify you and I magnify you, because, Lord, you are awesome. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you are just for being my God and for our strength and our peace, God. Oh, Lord, I bless your holy name and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy. Oh, God, I send you. Oh, Corodiana Sanda, ye get a lala bo coria masi, ye get a lala bo Sanda, ye get a la masi, get a lala bo coria basha, oh Sanda, ye get a lala bo coria masi. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you today because you are so awesome. Lord, we thank you for being our strength and our shield and our buckler. We thank you for being our way maker. We thank you for being our strong tower. Oh, God, I bless your holy name, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I glorify you. Lord, we ask you to bless us today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we repent of our sins, the sins of omission and commission. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us, oh, God. Hallelujah. We have not begin to seek after you the more, God. But, Lord, give us the mindset to seek you, Lord, in this time, oh, God, that we will not waste this time, oh, God, but we will use it to draw nigh unto thee, oh, God, because you have drawn nigh unto us, oh, God. Lord, draw us nearer, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Draw us nearer unto thee, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we ask you to bless all of those that have lost loved ones, oh, God. Some have lost loved ones because of other situations, oh, God, and other things that have taken their lives, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. But, God, you knew the day and the hour, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless the families and comfort them as only you can, God. We ask you, Lord, to let your Holy Spirit comfort them, God, in the name of Jesus. Some still are grieving at the loss of loved ones, oh, God, hallelujah. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless them and comfort them. Lord, some have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus, but, Lord, we ask you to comfort them, Lord. We ask you to keep them, oh, God. Some are under quarantine, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to heal in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless them again, to glorify, even though they're going through a tough situation. Lord, that they glorify you and begin to fight this thing and with praise, oh, God. Lord, we know that you'll bring them out on the other side. We're praying and they're praising and it's going to work together. Oh, Lord, we ask you to bless those that are on ventilators, oh, God, in the hospitals, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to bless that situation, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're able to heal, God, in the name of Jesus. You're able to restore their body functions to the way that you intended, God, in the name of Jesus. Bring it all together, God, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, bless our medical profession, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone, Lord Jesus, that operates in those areas, God. Lord, every hospital emergency room, oh, God, every wing that is taking care of those patients with the coronavirus. Lord, we ask you to cover them in the name of Jesus. Lord, don't let no plague come nigh their dwelling, God, in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to cover them with your blood. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Today is Palm Sunday, oh, God. They were shouting, Hosanna, Lord Jesus. But we know that that was just the precursor, Lord, for the crucifixion. But, God, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you that you stayed committed to your purpose and you went on to the cross on our behalf, carrying the sins of this world on your shoulders, oh, God. And, Lord, and you died for our sins that we might live and have a right to eternal life, oh, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the right. We thank you for giving us salvation. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for peace, God. We thank you for healing us, oh, God. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to bless every household, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we rebuke child molestation. We rebuke child abuse. We rebuke parent abuse. We rebuke spousal abuse. God, we ask you to bless the families to begin to love one another as only you can do it, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we bless your holy name and we praise your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Oh, God, I glorify you and I magnify your holy name. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we ask you to bless, hallelujah, our military staff needs and our National Guard that is on the scenes in some cities, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to cover them with your blood. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless New York City, New Orleans, oh, God, Louisiana, Lord, and Texas, and Lord Jesus, and Washington State, and some of the places where New Jersey, where it's been hard hit. But, God, we ask you, Lord, to send your healing virtue upon the people, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, let us not forget to humble ourselves before you. Let us repent of our sins, oh, God. Let us cry out unto thee, oh, God. When Israel began to cry out unto the Lord, God heard them by the reason of their bondage, hallelujah, and he began to turn that thing around, hallelujah. He began to send Moses and Aaron, Lord Jesus, talk to Pharaoh, oh, God, and that the plague may have come, but they did not come nigh their dwelling. They were in Goshen, oh, God. We thank you for keeping us, oh, God. We thank you for the blood post being on our doors. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I magnify your holy name, for you are worthy, God. You are worthy to be praised, God. I bless your name, Jesus. I worship your name, God, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy to be praised. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we ask you to bless, Lord Jesus. Lord, as never before, we need you. We need you, Lord, hallelujah. But, Lord, don't let us take it for granted. Don't let us use you, Lord, to get through it and then go back to our wicked ways, oh, God. Go back to the way it used to be. But let us strive at this time, oh, God, to seek you ever more, to pray more, Lord Jesus, to get in our word more, to draw nigh to thee, God. I glorify you. I magnify you. I praise your holy name, for you are worthy. You are worthy, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Bless this word to fall on good ground. Lord, that they that hear it may be receiving, Lord Jesus, and, Lord, that those that need it will find it, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I bless your holy name, God. I praise your name, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, bless the leadership of this country, God. Oh, Lord, lead and guide them, save them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, save such as should be saved. Lord, we want to see souls saved, set free, and delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, during this time. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for sending your power. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you. Oh, Lord, Holy Ghost, speak through us today, oh, God, that the people will be blessed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, bless your name. Praise the Lord, Dan, and I think Elaine. Praise the Lord, Donald. Praise the Lord, Sandra. Praise the Lord, Micah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Donald, God bless you. All of those that are joining on the line, Tracy, God, we thank God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. I pray that your household is blessed. I pray that your life is blessed. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has not forgotten us. God will take care of you through this time. Bless those that have lost jobs. I know God to be a provider. Hallelujah. I know him to be a healer. Oh, God, I know him to do it. I know him to do it. I know him to do it. Hallelujah. You are not alone. God is with you. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Oh, God, I thank you. This is a time to press into God. This is a time to press into God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining us today. Those that will log in, those that will call in, those that will join us on Facebook Live, and those that will listen to the broadcast later, we thank you. We thank you. I'm so sorry that these glasses be. But anyway, I thank the Lord for everybody that will be on here today and that will listen to this broadcast. So we're talking about commitment. We have been talking about trust for some time. We had talked about that for some time. And so we are now talking about commitment, and because we're building a better relationship with God through commitment. Now we're on commitment. And so we just left trust, which all of these kind of run neck and neck together. If you think about it, you got to trust God in order to committed to God. You can't just commit to something who somebody you don't trust. It's like in a marriage. You can't marry that person if you don't know them, if you don't trust them. Praise the Lord, Douglas. We thank God for each and every one of them, but we can't trust him, and then we can't commit our way to him if we don't trust him. So I thank God for this. So we're back in Deuteronomy. I was in Deuteronomy when we were talking about trust, and the Lord brought me back here as the first part of this particular teaching about commitment. And so we ushered in commitment last week when we were talking about Jesus and what a worthy topic to talk about. And I'm just going to touch on it just for a minute, because if we think about Jesus, Jesus made the ultimate commitment. He made the ultimate commitment when he went to the cross, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his human side was beginning to show. And he was asking the Lord, he said, if this cup can be taken from me. And he went to the Lord three times about it. And then on that third time, each time he went to prayer. He went to prayer about it. He went to prayer about it. He committed to praying. And so when he was committed to prayer, what he did was he began to get better. Better. His thoughts were better about it, and he was fully committed to it. So he committed to the cross. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew what he was getting ready to go through. And I think about Moses too. When Moses was talking about Deuteronomy, when he got up to do this, Moses knew that he was not going to go across to the promised land, but he would be able to see the promised land. And he also knew that at that time he was going to die. Now, I'm not talking about people getting ready to die. That's not what I'm talking about. We shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, that should be your testimony. I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall live. Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly, so we don't want his coming to be in vain. And so we know that, and it's not in vain. And so we know that when Jesus went to the cross, he committed to it. He knew what he was getting ready to go through. So who made the ultimate commitment? He showed us how to be committed to God. He showed us what it was we could do. Hallelujah. God bless you, Elder Montgomery. We thank God. So he showed us how we could be committed to God and how that we could that we could stay the course of what God has purposed and promised for us to do. Yet no matter what it looked like, maybe we don't have the support we think we have, but we have God. And if we have God, then we have more than enough. He'll send whatever else he needs, whoever else he needs to send. If we step back and let God do it, we can commit to what he has purposed for us to do. We don't have to be afraid of it. We can commit to that. So we're talking about commitment. And so I'm going to do the Romney. That's my main passage of scripture. But I couldn't miss this particular scripture where David talked about in Psalms 37 and 4 and 5, where he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. There's trust again. And he shall bring it to pass. And then I wanted to read that particular verse in the Amplified Version, Classic impose each care of your load in him. That means just give it all over to him. Commit everything, everything about you. Give it over to the Lord. Lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And so when David is calling us to take delight in the Lord and commit everything we have to him. And so how we do that is we delight in someone. Delight in someone means we experience great pleasure in them. So we should praise the Lord, Phyllis Dodson. We should have good pleasure in them. And so we do have that, and we have that pleasure in them, in him. And so we're so thankful to God for that. And so we acknowledge him. We acknowledge who God is. And so when we commit ourselves to him, it means entrusting everything about us to him, our lives, our family, our job, our possessions, everything we're going through right now, we got to entrust it to him. Because I want you to be encouraged today that no matter what it is, if you somebody that lost your job, or you somebody that you're on a furlough or whatever it is, believe me when I tell you, God will take care of you. I am a witness. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. I know what I'm talking about. I done had this. I've been up here in Sally, been all the way down here in Sally, been up in Sally, been all the way down here in Sally. God, I'm telling you, God will take care of you. He is a sustainer. He is a keeper. He is a provider. He will bring you peace. And so here we are. I'm going to get to my topic because you know I'll be going on about something else. But anyway, when I thought about, I was reading, and so I started researching about commitment in the Bible and what that meant and what it meant with God and being committed. And so the first passage of scripture he took me to was Deuteronomy 29 and 30. He took me to the 29th chapter and the 30th chapter. Because, you know, and so what Moses was doing, I talked about this when I talked about trust. Moses was reiterating in the generation that was about to go to the promised land all the things that God has done. So he started out with a history lesson. He talked about, you know how sometimes we can go to family reunions, we got our photo albums, we got our old neighborhoods, we got all this stuff, and so it brings back all of these memories. It awakens our memories and it stirs our emotions. And all those things, if we've ever watched, you know, if we ever go to family reunion, research, oh, there's our so-and-so, there's Uncle so-and-so, oh, there's my cousin, so, you know, we get all excited about all these things. And we begin to reminisce about the things that have happened in the past. Some of them have been good, some of them have been bad, some of them have been embarrassing, but they're all a part of who we are. And so we begin to go through all of this. And so this is what Moses was doing. But Moses was telling them about their journey out of Egypt. He was telling them all the things that God has done. He told them about the plagues. He told them about how they were protected. And he told them about all the good things that God has done. And they had seen God work so many miracles. And I know sometimes we think if God just would work some miracles in front of us today that we could believe more in him. But if he don't work a miracle, we still need to believe God. That is what he's trying to get us to. We need to believe him no matter what. God is trustworthy. God is committed to us, and we need to be committed to him. This is a day, in this time, during this time, we need to re-examine ourselves and say, Lord, am I fully committed to you? Have I committed my ways to you? Am I trusting fully in you? Are these the things that I'm doing, or am I still taking it upon myself to move before I talk to you about it? Am I taking it upon myself to act on my own will and not on your will? We need to ask God about these things. And I know sometimes when it's difficult times, you don't want to hear these things, but this is what God was telling them before they went on to the promised land. Because the generation that came out of Egypt saw all of those miracles. They saw the plagues, and they wasn't touched. They saw all of this stuff. They came out of Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They went through there. They was over there 40 years. The shoes didn't go dim. The clothes didn't wear out. Now, you know, some of us in bed, I don't know how many pairs of shoes, and we wear them, and some of you like me, you lean to them sides, and they be run over on the back and all that kind of foolishness, or the, you know, all of that. But during this time, God cared for them. He sustained them. Now, it might not be the same when he's sustaining us in this day and time. It may not be that our shoes didn't wear out. It may not be that, but it may be that we still got a roof over our head. We still got transportation. We still got an income coming in. Our light bills are still paid. Even if we had to go down to the county to get them done, to get on the program, they still being paid. Whatever it took, they're still being paid. If we have to get on, you know, if we have to call and get some relief during this time because of the times we're in, It don't matter how God do it. It's just a matter that he is doing it for us. He's working. We got to be humble enough to receive what God is going to do for us, no matter what it looks like. Believe me, I done all of it. I done been on food. And believe me, I remember when they used to have the food stamps where you counted out, my mother would buy some from one of the cousins or something. And then I'd have to go to the store, and I used to be so ashamed to count them food stamps out, because I didn't want, because as soon as you start counting them out, here comes somebody you know up behind you in the line. And so I used to be like, oh, Lord have mercy. But believe me, I done had to get food stamps. I done been down to the county. I done all of that. But I tell you what, I wasn't over here in the dark. I had food on my table, so I had to do what I had to do. But God sustained me. So I'm going to tell you, and I'm telling you from what I know, God will sustain you. Hey, Judy Hopkins, more, God bless you. And I mean he will sustain you during this time. Don't be getting all excited about it. God will sustain you. He will sustain you. You ain't got to worry. I'm telling you, you ain't got to worry about it. Just when I think, just like last year, I was substitute teaching still, and then I went into the summer program. And while I was on that summer program, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, staying at one of the universities. I was advisor on that program, and I'm gonna get to my text. I was advisor on that program, and I wasn't making that much money, and so I just didn't know how I was gonna do this. My roommates had moved out, all that kind of stuff was going on, so I was just me and God, but God sustained it. Next thing I know, I got an interview. They called me about an interview. They got a contract. They called me about an interview. I interviewed over the phone. And then they told me they wanted me to start. That was probably at the end of June, and then I had started by July the 8th. And I'm telling you that this particular job has paid me more money than I've ever made. So I'm telling you the Lord will sustain you, and he has blessed you. I've been able to pay our bills. I've been able to save stuff. I've been able to do some things that I needed to get done. God will sustain you. So don't fret about it. Believe me, take it from me. God will do it. I'm telling you, I don't care if they done told you, you got to be on the unemployment. Do what you got to do. Make sure that you, you know, ask God to give you the right thoughts about money and the things. If this is how much money I got, like, be faithful to paying your tithes. I don't care if you're on unemployment. Be faithful to paying your tithes. I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you. I'm telling you what I know. I ain't talking about what somebody done told me. I ain't talking about something I read. I'm talking about what I know. And I'm telling you, he will do it. And I'm telling you, he blessed me. I didn't have to. I stayed the same size, so I didn't have to worry about having to worry about buying clothes. I'm telling you, I wasn't giving no money over here to Ross. Wasn't giving no money over here to all of them. Now they didn't see me for a long time. And I'm telling you, I was still struggling. So I'm telling you, God will do it. God will do it. He'll teach you how to do your own hair. He'll teach you how to do your own nails. He'll teach you how to get down there and get your own feet done. I'm telling you what the Lord will do. So God can sustain us during this time. Don't get all overwhelmed. He will sustain you. He will bless you. He will keep you. And for those that have contracted, you might be under quarantine, begin to worship God. All I know is when Jehoshaphat worshiped the Lord, praise the Lord, when Jehoshaphat worshiped the Lord, they begin to send out the praises, honey. The battle was won, and they just had to go over there and get the spoil. Even at Jericho, they walked around that wall. They let out a shout of praise, and the wall came down. So we got to look at what God has already done. So here we are back here in Deuteronomy, and the children are getting ready. I'm getting back on my topic. The children are getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And so this is that generation from the generation that had died out, but Moses is standing up. And he did a three-part message. So the first of the message was him telling a history story. This is started out in Deuteronomy 29, and he began to tell the children of Israel. Let me, I got some of this. He began to tell them about what all God had done. And so the blueprint was in the first one. He said Moses reviewed the mighty acts of God. How many mighty acts have God worked in your life? And maybe they wasn't maybe it wasn't like you saw the Red Sea parted, but it might not have been that dramatic, but it was still dramatic for you because it was what you were going through, but you saw God do it. Go back to that. Rethink that. Think about his mighty acts that he's shown you. Think about the time he's already healed you before, and then claim your victory of healing right now. Think about the time he provided for you before. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about how our mothers back in the day, how that our mothers began to, that our mothers, you know, our mothers could cook. They could make, like with Thanksgiving, Ted, you know, we had turkey dressing and all that kind of stuff. Then later on in the week, we had turkey sandwiches. And then later on in the week, we might have had turkey hash. You know, they just kept working it out. They would change it up, but they just kept working it out. You know what I'm saying? So look up some of that stuff. Cook something that they could make some syrup. My mother used to make syrup. She fixed up some pancakes. We didn't have no syrup. But she would make some syrup. I can't remember how she made it. But anyway, she made it. And so they did things like that. They knew how to survive. They knew how to make it work. They knew how to make it, as they say, do what it do. But anyway, we have got to be able to do that. We got to do that even in our own homes and for our own children. This is a time for you to show your children how to survive, how to make it, how that God will provide in the midst of the storm, how he can bring peace in the midst of the storm. This is what time, it ain't time to be in the house. You over in one room, they over in another room, all everybody scattered out on them phones and carrying on. Come together and get to know each other. Rekindle the love of the family. Do those kind of things. We got a lot to do. But anyway, here they were. They were at Jerusalem. And so I'm not Jerusalem. They were in Kadesh Barnea. They were there again. And so they were getting ready to cross over into Jordan. And so here we are. And so Moses begins to reiterate in this generation all the marvelous acts, all the miracles, all the mighty acts of God, so that they would not forget what God has done, so that they would understand who was going to be with them when they got on the other side, because they were getting ready to go into battle. They were getting ready to have to battle nations and stuff like that because they were having to fight to get the land that God had promised them. So he reiterates. So then after that, after he talked about that, he began to talk about the law. And so he began to give them the law. His second address was, He gave them the Ten Commandments, the love of the Lord your God, the laws for proper worship, and the laws for ruling the nation. He gave them the laws for human relationships, and he even gave them the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Now, I must say, this is what God is looking for, and even in this time for us, is for obedience. We have got to get back to obedience. We have got to tear down the idol worshipers, idol worship, you know, whatever it was. We know ourselves. We ain't got to ask nobody else about that. We know ourselves, the things that have drawn us away or might take up more time, and then we say, okay, we'd be like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna pray later, but I'm gonna do this later. But we got to get back to putting God first. He's to be first in our life. The Bible says, I think it's Isaiah 1:19, where it says, if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Now, we like that B clause. We like that eat the good of the land. But what about that A clause? Praise the Lord, Pastor Sarah, by boy. What about that A clause that says be willing and obedient? Those are the things we got to do. God is calling for us to be obedient at this time. He's not calling for us. That's why he shut it down. He done shut down everything. He shut down the athletics. He shut down the movies. He done shut down all this stuff because he's wanting us to draw closer to him. This is a time that I want to tell you. I'm going to stop right here for just a minute because I got to tell you about that wonderful time we had this morning. Pastor Sarah Balboa, I tell you, we was on the line this morning with her, and she, the Lord, began to minister to her about people being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if we didn't have us a time this morning, people were, now, that's one thing, you may not be in the church house, but God can still meet you in your house. People were being filled with the Holy Ghost. We were being restored. I tell you, I had myself a time this morning. I've been having a time all day long. I'm just too excited about it all. But anyway, I just want to, so y'all go back and look. It's on my live feed, or go on her feed and look at it. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed. If you know somebody needs the Holy Ghost, tell them to go over there. Because I'm telling you, the Lord moved during that time. Hallelujah. God, I'm telling you, it was awesome. But anyway, I'm getting back to my topic. So here we were. Here we are. So Moses was, he reiterated to them all the mighty acts of God. He was telling them all that God had done for them, and he was telling them that because they was getting ready to go over there. And then he began to tell them all about the laws and the things and the covenant, because he was reiterating the covenant that God had made with them. Now, this is a covenant God had kind of made back when he was talking about, when he was, oh, my God, thank you, they were refilled and restored. But he was talking about the covenant, because he made Abraham a covenant, right? It was the Abrahamic covenant, and then God had made the Mosaic covenant, which was at Mount Horeb, and here we are again. And so God at Mount Sinai, and then God was making, he was reiterating the covenant that God had made. And in that covenant, the Israelites had committed to being obedient. That is what they done. But, of course, they went a whoring after other stuff. We have got to stop whoring after other gods. We have got to stop going, saying we're going to commit to God this moment and then something to take us on this way. We got to stay steady. We got to be willing and obedient. Then he said we will eat the good of the land. Don't want the B clause without doing the A clause. And so this is what Moses was telling them in this particular passage of scripture. He was telling them that the A clause is God wants you to be obedient. God's going to keep his covenant. God's going to do his because he said he will not lie. And so he ain't going to lie. He ain't going to change. So he's going to keep his covenant. But we have got to keep our covenant. We can't do like they were over in the book of Judges, just doing whatever's right in their own eyes. We got to do what God is asking us to do. And so this is what the Lord is requiring of them before they go into the promised land. He's requiring them to renew the covenant with him, renew the commitment with him. Even though God knew they were going to get off again, God is so faithful, we may get off, but God stays steady. And he is there with his redemption power to bring us back to him. He's so awesome. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, Christ has already done the work. All we got to do is stay steady. We got to stay in the will of God. We got to stay committed to God. We got to stay in obedience. This is the thing. Disobedience. Now, if we read back in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it gives us a list of things. If you be obedient, you'll have all this. If you be disobedient, these are the things that are going to come upon you. Read it. I'm not going to read it in our hearing right now. But if you read that particular chapter, God begins to tell them these things. But anyway, God did this. So, and then we come, when we get to that, I got 27 minutes, I'm trying to get my time. But then we come to the place where we are now. And this is the third thing that Moses got up to address. The first address was about what God has done. The second address was all about the laws and things that they were supposed to commit and keep. Then the third address was, it was about the covenant, about the commitment, about being committed to God. So we are building a better relationship with God through commitment. We got to, because David said in Psalms, to commit your way unto the Lord. Give everything over to him. We are to be committed to God. If we really want God to do all the things that we want God to do, we need to get committed to him. We can't keep doing it our way. We can't keep doing it the way we want to do it. Jesus showed us that. Jesus was asking God, if you could take this cup from me, but God wasn't taking the cup from Jesus because that's what he sent Jesus here to do. He sent Jesus to be was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the word of God. He said what John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So this Jesus is all these things. He is our lamb. He is our redemption. So we don't have to slay the lamb anymore. We don't have to do that. God redeemed us when he sent Jesus to the cross. We ought to be glorifying God just for that right there. Because of that, we don't have to go through all these other rituals anymore. But we still got to be obedient to God. We can't, praise the Lord, Rufus. We cannot get away from that. So I want us to be clear about that. So in the 30th chapter, where's my verses at? Here they are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It says right here, it says, now this is the 30th chapter. Well, let me go up here to the 29th chapter. I said I was going to read some of these. I'll put them down here. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So when he's at Horeb, that's when he made the covenant. That's when the Ten Commandments came about and all those things came about. So here he is, man. He's reiterating this covenant. He wants them to renew the covenant with him. Moses called to all of Israel and said to them, you have seen all, and this is an amplified classic version, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders, yet the Lord has not given you a mind and a heart to understand and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes did not wear out, were not worn out upon you, and your sandals had not worn off your feet. Look how God was sustaining them. He was sustaining them. It says, you have not eaten grain bread, or have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might recognize and know your dependence on him who is saying, I am the Lord your God. So God fed them in the wilderness. He fed them in the wilderness. And when you came to the place of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. God, praise Lord James. God is going to bless you to defeat the enemy. He will help you to defeat the thing that you're going through. And we got to stand on the word of God and know that we can defeat it. We took that land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may deal wisely and prosper in all that you do. you know, have that, but we got to do our part of it. Our part of it is to walk in obedience with God. Our part of it is to stay in that in a place with God where we're walking in obedience. We can't keep think God is gonna keep winking at sin and just, you know, we pray, well, I'm under grace, but the Bible says, shall sin continue that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. No, it shall not. We got to live according to what God is saying. And so these are the things we got to do even now. We need to be drawing nigh to God. And then let me see, let me go down here. He said, and your little ones, your wives and your strangers and sojourners in your camp, from the hewer of the wood to the drawer of the water, that you may enter into the covenant of the Lord your God and into his oath, which he makes to you today. Now, it just wasn't for the parents. It was for the children. It was for all that was in the household. Everybody's got to begin to draw nigh to God. And so you got to teach your children to draw nigh to God because they're going to need it. And this was for, this covenant just wasn't for them, but it was for them afar off. It says that we may establish you this day as a people to himself, and that he may be to you a God, as he said to you, and he as swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not, listen to this, it is not with you only that I make this sworn covenant, but with future Israelites, with those of us that are Abraham's seed. Come on, praise the Lord, Elder Robinson, praise the Lord, Pastor Ed, Pastor Howard. The God and dwell with those who are here with us today, this day. So it wasn't just for them, but it was for them coming up. So we have got to be, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm getting excited. They met with one of the saints that was on the phone this morning. Remember her? And oh, my God. She got the Holy Ghost. I know it. I can't even see the whole thing. But I believe, glory to God. We got to be praising God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is doing something. She received the Holy Ghost. She was on there this morning. She said she didn't have the Holy Ghost. And she, I'm telling you, y'all need to go back and listen to that. I got it posted on my page. And so you can go to my page, Denise Bryson, and it's there by board. We was on there this morning. I'm telling you, you need to go to listen to it. If you know somebody need the Holy Ghost, you need to go over and listen to that. I'm telling you, don't miss it. You need a refreshing. You need to go over there. I'm telling you, we were so blessed this morning. Oh, my God. But anyway, so then in the 30th chapter it says, and when all these things have come upon you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and shall return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I commanded you today. So he's bringing them back into covenant with God, you and your children, with all your mind and heart and with all your being. See, there goes the word heart. It's a heart matter. We got to get our hearts in the right place with God. I keep saying that. And then the Lord your God will restore your fortune and have compassion upon all, and you will gather you again from the nations where he has scattered you. And so, you know, God is, and let me see if I go down here. I don't want to keep reading. It's a lot to read. But anyway, I just want you to be encouraged today to understand that God is making a new covenant with us, and he wants us to be committed to him. He is bringing, it's not a new covenant, but when Jesus came, there a new covenant came in, and I got that here because I said, I'm going to think, look at that about these covenants real quick, because we got to, you know, the new covenant is the last of the eight great covenants, because it was eight covenants, and the scripture, it says better, so Jesus' covenant that he ushered in is better than all the other ones. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to go through all that, but it's better than all the other ones. And so, but anyway, God is telling us to get back to obedience. I don't care. I know we think, well, I do right. I live right. I do my best. But we, you know what Paul said? He said, I died daily. So evidently, it's something that we need to be ever before our thoughts to say, Lord, let me make sure I'm in the right place with you today. It's all right to. I ask for forgiveness every day. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of my mind, my body, my soul. I just go to ask, calling out everything because I want to be right with God. If the Lord decides to take me on, I want to go to heaven. That's where I want to go. Nobody else want to go. I want to be in heaven. I want to hear him say, well done. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want to go to heaven. So if it means giving up some of these things that we thought was pleasurable to our flesh, we got to give them up. And so, you know, and let me say this. I just came to me when I was there, but. Well, no, that's not off topic. But anyway, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that, you know, we got, well, maybe I will say it, because, you know, we got to, let me say this. Some of the things that we do, we got to make sure that we are in alignment with God. And, you know, I know a lot of things are going on and people just been kind of doing what they do. But I was talking to somebody and I heard them say this to me. They said, we were talking about sex, actually. And this person said, well, that's just what I'm going to do. That, you know, that's just what I'm going to do. And I said, well, that ain't what God is telling us that we can do. I said, and you got to understand that we got to live according to the will of God and not according to what our flesh says. Now, either you're going to obey God or you're going to obey the flesh. You got to make a decision about things. You got to reexamine your life. Search your heart and begin to reexamine yourself and make sure that you're in obedience, because then you can have those things that will cause you to prosper. You can have those things. We can't. He said, if we delight in power, he will prosper us. He will bless us to prosper. He will bless us to have what we need. We do not have to continue to be in disobedience. You know, people think it's hard to be deciding to obey is just that. It's making a decision. You have a choice. Moses was giving them a choice at this time. He was telling them, here's your choice. You got a choice to obey or you got a choice to stay in disobedience. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay in disobedience or are we going to make the choice to do what God has said for us to do? I want to make the choice to live God's way. And people think, oh, it's hard to do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. All I know is when I was coming up, I had the best time in church. I had a wonderful time. We had so much fun in church. We was enjoying Jesus. We enjoyed everything. It was laughter at church. There was, we had good youth programs. We had all these different things, and the Spirit of God came in, and we were just blessed of the Lord. And I'm telling you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was such a blessing, because I had been saved. I had been saved. I had been in the church since I was 6. And so I was 6 years old when I joined church, and I joined, and I went home and told my mother and them about, you know, I would always, that's how my mother said, she would say I was something else, because I would go home and tell them about stuff. You know, I'd go home and tell them. I went to church with one of the neighbors, and I went home and tell them. My mother went to a Methodist church, and this was a Baptist church I went to. And when they called for us to come up, I went right on up there. And then I went home and told them that I was going to get baptized. That's what I told them. And so then, anyway, same thing when I got the Holy Ghost. I was at Zion Tabernacle Apostolic Church, I think is where I was. And I remember the bishop, he was evangelist, I think his name in a minute. But anyway, I remember him preaching, your check was in the mail. Well, my check in the mail was to get the Holy Ghost. That was my check in the mail. And so anyway, I went back in, and we began to tarry. And I remember tearing for the Holy Ghost. And I was back in Jesus. And I was going back in, I was tearing. I didn't get it that night. But anyway, they told me I could come back to get it. But I had already began to go to Cathedral Praise. I was already over there. And I remember going to the altar praying for the Holy Ghost. I remember going to the altar praying. I remember Sister Phyllis Dawson. She remembered Sister Phyllis Dawson, Kathy. They were down there praying with me. And I was praying. We was praying and praying. I was praying for the Holy Ghost. And I didn't get it that night either. They got up and said, this is what they got up. She got stammering lips. That's what they said. Anyway, but then I was in a service one night. And I was in a service one night, and Bishop Allen called a prayer line, and we was in that prayer line, and he said, get in your mind what you want God to do. And that's what he said. He said, get in your mind. Hey, Joyce, praise the Lord, Tinky. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, I thank God I was in that prayer line. I needed a job at times. I wasn't making about $3.35 an hour. And I needed a job, and I was up for a job. But anyway, I went through that prayer line, and I was vacillating back and forth. I need a job. I need the Holy Ghost. I need a job. I need the Holy Ghost. And when he got to me, he said, what will you have, God? I had made up my mind I was going to say a job. But when I got up, I said, I need the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, they went to praying for me. And I remember her name was Sister Gooch. I worked with her, Esther Helen Cooper Gooch. And I remember her telling me a story about when she got the Holy Ghost and how that the Lord, she began to see the Lord ascending up to heaven. And she said, because first of all, she kept seeing her mother's face and she kept being blocked or whatever. But anyway, I remember seeing the Lord ascending up to heaven, and then I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were laid hands on me, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost that day. And I was so excited about that. And then we went right into revival, and I think Bishop Rogers was here. Bishop Huey Rogers was doing the revival. And I just remember just being so blessed. But anyway, I'm telling you, if you have not received the Holy Ghost, that's why I'm telling you, go back to that, and get. But we are pray that you will get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be in the church house. Don't wait. Well, when I get to church, I'm going to go up there, and I want the Lord to fill me. Go, no, he can fill you right now. We got so many people that can testify how they was on their way home from church and got the Holy Ghost, how they was in their home and got the Holy Ghost, how they was in the car and got the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, so many testimonies. People got testimony after testimony after testimony. People got testimony. I got saved. I accepted the Lord at this time. You can accept the Lord today. We're going to do a call to Christ in a minute. But you can accept the Lord and you can get him, but you can make that covenant with him to be obedient. Christ has paved the way for us. It says obeying the word of God brings life. And so when we obey the word of God, it brings us life. It says Jesus is God incarnate. He's the revelation of the word. Jesus is the revelation of the word. So Jesus is life. He said that I came that you may have life and that more abundantly. That's what Jesus came for. And so if you have Jesus, you got life. And so that's the thing we want you to know. You got to have Jesus. During this time, it's time for you to get a hold of Christ. It ain't time for you to be still trying to live in your own way, wanting to say, I can't wait till the basketball come back on. I can't wait for the hockey to come back on, honey. Get in there and see what Christ has got to say to you. Because I'm telling you, he's the only one going to bring you out. Ain't nobody else going to bring you out but Christ. Ain't nobody going to bring you through this but Christ. You got to hold on to him. Grab hold of him and get him. I'm telling you, you're going to be excited about it. You're going to be excited about it if you do it. Christ is awesome. Christ is awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just thank God for all of those things. And then the thing about, thank you, Lord, Joyce was saying, she said, yes, I remember those lines, got it at home. Come on here. She got it at home. I'm telling you, the Lord can give you the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to be in the church building to get it. God is everywhere. He's there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's sovereign. He is God. You don't have to be setting up just with in the church to get the Holy Ghost. I mean, he can give it to you. If you want it, it's a gift. Receive it. Ask God to give it to you. Turn your life. Give your heart over to him. I'm telling you, if you do it, you will have life and not death. You will have life. If you walk in obedience, you will have life and not death. It ain't sugarcoated. We can't sugarcoat this. Praise the Lord. We can't sugarcoat it. It is black and white. It is what God said. It's his word. And this is not us preaching, trying to tell you, trying to bring you to damnation, none of that. We can't condemn nobody because we don't have no heaven and hell to put you in. All we know is that this is the way. And he said the way to God, it's one way to God. And narrow be that way and few that find it. Be one of those that find that way today. Be one of those that say, I'm going to live in obedience. I'm going to renew my covenant with God. I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm not going to keep doing it my way. I want to do it like Christ did it. Christ did it God's way. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to get out of it, but that's the human side. He wanted to get out of it, but that God in him stood up and said, no, this is what I was born to do. I was born to die. And I'm not saying you're going to die. That's not what I'm saying. I told you earlier, declare the works of the Lord. Declare you're going to live. Declare you're going to live. Declare you're going to live through this coronavirus. Declare you're going to live. Praise God. Worship God that I will live. I tell myself I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to be like, we're going to tell the generations behind us all the great things and the miracles that God has done. We're going to tell them about that and tell them to live in obedience. And we ain't going to just tell them. It ain't a do as I say and not as I do. This is a do as I say and do as I do time. You can't tell them that. You know how parents you say, I do what I don't do. Don't do as I do, but do as I say. No, this is a do as I say and do as I do. We got to do it just like Jesus did it. That's what we got to do. Do what Jesus did. He lived for God. He lived for him. He lived to his purpose. And so that's what we got to do. Our time is running out. We're getting there. We got 9 minutes. But anyway, and then I'm going, is anybody on the line have anything to say? I don't even know who this is, but anybody got anything they want to say? Okay, I'm going to keep on going. So the Lord is awesome. He is awesome. I'm just so grateful just to have this opportunity. I'm sure this is a very deep lesson, but it goes into a lot. It's a lot to it. But I just wanted to bring out those particular points about what Moses was doing during that time to get them ready to go to the promised land. So we're trying to get you ready to get over into your promised land. We're trying to get you ready to get to a better place in God. Obedience is the way. Obedience is the way. They kept stopping going a horn after these other gods. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to keep running after stuff and idolizing stuff. We don't need to idolize these homes. We don't need to idolize these jobs. Now, okay. saw so many people. They said, well, it was 6.8 million people filed for unemployment. So we know not to idolize the job, because when they get short, they will let you go. They will tell you, we're going to have to see you later. We'll furlough you. They will do it in a minute. I've been there. I done seen them do it, so I know what they'll do. They don't care nothing about your house. They don't care nothing about your car. They don't care nothing about you needing food on your table. They don't care about none of that. And what I'm encouraging you to do, sometimes when we've been used to making a whole lot of money, we've been making good money, sometimes we are the hardest. Our pride is in the way. Get pride out the way. Get pride out the way and do what you got to do. I'm telling you, I've had to do it. I had to go down into the county and get my life, keep my, for them to pay for my life. I done had to do it. I done had to, call the church and ask them to pay my light bill, my water bill. I've had to do it, and I've had to get food stamps. I've had to do it. Now you don't have them little stamps, because, you know, it's a card. You just swipe it and move on, so it ain't like it was back in the day. You know, they all them different colors. They don't have all that no more. You get that card, swipe it through like you're doing your bank card. Don't nobody know it unless they looking. And have them, some of them, I remember I had a man, I was in the store, I was counting out pennies, I was counting out change. And so I was counting my change, I was trying to pay my grocery bill. And it was a man, he had a food stamp card. He said, ma'am, I got it. And he just paid it with his food stamp card. I'm telling you, so God is good. Don't look at the things like, well, why can't you be all this? Don't do all that whining. Do what you got to do and let God sustain you. He is a sustaining God. I'm telling you, I told you about me driving that car for a whole year, and they wasn't looking for me. I told you that, and I only paid one payment because that's all I had, because I wasn't making enough. I wasn't making enough to even make the payment. So I'm telling you what God will sustain you doing. I went to work I was going to work, but I wasn't making that much money. I was substitute teaching. I just wasn't making that much money. And so when you got to pay lights and all that stuff, you try to keep all that on. If people tell me, you need to budget. If you can't budget when you're in a deficit, it's hard to budget. So you just got to do what's the best. But during this time, if you are one of those that are not working at this time and you're not getting paid at this time and you're going to start getting your unemployment and things like that, pray and ask God how to do it. Pray and ask God how to manage it, so that you will come out of this ahead and not behind. Just because you're on unemployment, food stamps, things like that, don't mean you have to come out behind. It really does not. And so we just got to learn how to manage it better. But believe me, what I'm saying, I'm telling you what I know, not what I think or what I've experienced. No, I'm telling you what I know. I have learned in each round. I've learned. Every time the Lord has taught me something different. And even this time, he's teaching me something different. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. Oh, I should have. Wish I would have done this different. Don't worry about none of that. Go forward. Go forward. He said, you've been around this mountain long enough. It's time to go northward. It's time to go on over across the land. Be obedient to God. Stay in his will. Go back and read Deuteronomy 28 so you can hear what it takes to be blessed and what it takes to go through the curse. You don't want to go through the curse. Obedience is the way. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's what it says. Now, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord in the pardon of your sin, does not know the Lord, this is an opportunity for you to get to know God. I just told you that if you know Jesus, then you will have life. So this is the thing. He said, I think it was Isaiah, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, he will wash them white and snow, be like crimson. He will wash them white and snow. I'm not quoting that exactly correct. But what I want you to know, he said, if thou would confess the Lord, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. So with confession, salvation is made. So if you would confess right now and confess that I am a sinner and, Lord, I am in need of salvation, Lord, I'm asking you to save me today. I confess with my mouth, Lord Jesus, and, Lord, I believe that God has raised you from the dead. Lord, save me today. Save me and fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I surrender all to thee. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer or some version of it, I believe that God heard you. If you had a sincere heart, I believe that God heard you and that you will be, that you are saved. Welcome to the family. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that you can be continue to be growth and strengthened and grown. And I know you can't go there right now, but there are many ministries online. There are many good ministries in Indianapolis. There are many good ministries in Chicago. There are many good ministries in Dallas, in Texas. There are many good ministries in Memphis. There are many good ministries all around. And a lot of them are online right now. They're ready to minister to you. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be worried at this time. They are there to minister to you. There are plenty of them on Facebook and Facebook that are ministering to you. Pastor Sarah Bible is on Facebook in the morning. She is ministering. Listen in the morning. The Kelly Ways in and Pastor Cino, they're on in the morning. That you got plenty to listen to. Pastor Will Murphy's on in the morning. Pastor John Hanna, Bishop T.D. Jake. Now, I'm going to tell you my pastor this morning. You know that's my pastor, Bishop T.D. Jake. He preached the gospel this morning. I'm telling you, go over there to thepodcast.org and listen to the repast. He was talking about suffering. What was the name? Lord, why can't I remember the topic? Anyway, came out of Matthew 21, verses 1 through 10, talking about the COVID. He was talking about oh, my goodness. I don't know if anybody on here was with listening, but anyway, go out there and listen to it. I ain't doing it no justice. But anyway, but I'm telling you, it was an amazing word from this morning. And then I just had a good time this morning. I can't tell you how much good time I had. But anyway, I'm so thankful for those that accepted Christ on this line today. And they might accept later, but whatever it is. And Pastor Lisa, now you know you've been praying every day. Keep on going. Keep on praying. Pastor Phyllis Cantrell, I'm going to do a single thing. I'm going to have you come on because I need you to help people learn how to sustain in this time. This is my friend. She has been able, I'm thinking when she was unemployed, she was able to, God blessed her with an idea, and she was able to sustain her, God sustained her through that thing. So I want her to come on and talk about that, so I'm going to call you about that. But anyway, the shock of suffering. Thank you, Montgomery. I know, the shock of suffering, that's it. I'm telling you, he said the shock of suffering, and he was talking about that. So y'all got to go listen to it because I can't do it no justice. But y'all got to listen to that. I'm telling you, it was amazing this morning. And so I've just been excited all day. I've been listening to you, yes, Lisa. I've been listening to you pray. Lisa, like little sister me, you know, we grew up together. All of us grew up together. Me and Phyllis Cantrell, we grew up together. We've been friends for 50-some years. And me and Lisa being friends, well, probably close to that. She's a little younger than me, so she got about 4 years younger than me, so we're a little less. But we all grew up together. So we've been blessed to the Lord. We like sisters. I still call them my sisters because that's who they are to me. And so, you know, so I'm just so thankful for all that God is doing in you all's life. God bless you and just praise. So we're going to pray. And the shock of suffering. Ooh, I mean, it was something. You got to go listen to it. So it'll be out there. The rebroadcast will be out there. You can go to his YouTube page and see it now. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And so I'm quite sure all of your pastors were a blessing this morning in whatever way they got to deliver the word to you. Be a blessing to your ministries and to your church. Continue to pay your tithes and your offerings. They need it like never before. This ain't the time for you to go slack and talk about, well, I got to go buy me some chicken. God will provide you with some chicken or whatever it is you need. Do serve him first. Put him first. Put him first. Seek him first. I'm telling you, he'll bless you. He will bless you. Somebody will come by with all the groceries you need. You don't know how he's going to do it. But all I know is keep paying your, bring your tithes and offerings to the store. Our churches need it. And even though they're providing some relief for our pastors, they got some relief coming up for the pastors. Go out there. Jake was talking about that as well. And I know some other pastors. Tammy Taylor was just on there talking about it on her live feed earlier today. Go out there and listen to those things so you can tell your pastors how to get that relief. They're going to bless them with paying their salaries for 6 months or something like that. But anyway, go out there and get it. And get it. If you got nonprofits, go out there and get what you can to sustain yourself during this time. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for just this time of sharing. We thank you for the word of God. We pray that thank you for all of those, Lord, that received Christ today. We thank you, Lord, for those souls. The angels are rejoicing in heaven, and we're welcoming them into the family. Bless all of those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to touch them as only you can. Comfort as only you can. Heal as only you can. Lord Jesus, provide as only you can. Lord Jesus, we rebuke anxiety. We rebuke frustration. We rebuke worry. But we speak peace. We speak joy. We speak strength for the people of God and for the people on the lines and for the people that are hungry after you, Lord. Feed them as never before. We thank you, Lord, that during this time our shoes won't wear out, our clothes won't wear out, our roofs will still be over our head, our refrigerators will still be full, our bank accounts will have what they will be full. Lord Jesus, we'll be able to meet everything that we need to meet because you have sustained us and you have provided for us, and we thank you right now. Glory, we give you praise. Praise, Lord, for your friends. We give you glory. We give you praise. For those, Lord Jesus, that are not working, we thank you for the abundance that will come their way. We thank you for witty inventions and ideals, oh God, that will come to the people of God, and they will be able to do those things and be able to be set up, Lord Jesus, that they will have more than streams of income coming in than they ever had with the job. Lord, we know that you're able to do it. We know that you can do it, God. So we thank you for today, God. We glorify you. We lift our hands in praise unto you. We magnify you, Lord. Do it, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the healing that is taking place. We thank you, Lord, for those that are having to bury loved ones, oh, God, and can't have the traditional funeral. We ask you, Lord, to comfort them as only you can. We pray for those that lost loved ones and they weren't able to be in the room with them, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to comfort them right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask, Lord, comfort them, and Lord, let the memory of their loved one be that memory of when they were alive and not when they went through this last journey, oh God. But Lord, let their family members understand that, Lord, that they might not have got to be there, but Lord, you were there with them. They didn't die alone, oh God, that you were there with them. God, comfort them in that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Bless our flight attendants, bless our pilots, bless our police officers, God. Bless our first responders. Bless our paramedics. Bless, Lord Jesus, our ambulance, those, all of those, the firemen, everybody that got to come first. Bless them, Lord, with the things that they are having to see, God. Lord, that you will comfort them, that they won't go to bed with those things on their mind, but that you will give them peace of mind, oh, God, that they will be able to get a sweet rest, God. Bless all of those in emergency rooms all over this world, oh, God, that are having to deal with this epidemic, oh, God. Cover them with your blood, God. Give them patience, God. Give them grace and give them peace, oh, God. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless their families, Lord, that are home, not wondering if they're wondering if their loved one is going to come back with contracted with the virus. But, God, we ask you, we plead the blood. We plead the blood over their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you and we glorify you. Bless them all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us be obedient and take the precautions that they have set in place for us to take. If you go out, you got to come back and bathe with antibacterial soap. Wash your hands, oh, God. Lord, make sure you just ain't touching everything and touching your face. Put the mask on. Stop walking in disobedience and be obedient. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless each and every one of you, those that logged in, those that called in, those that have just joined us. Say praise the Lord, Paul. May God bless each and every one of you. And I mean, do what they saying for you to do so you can stay safe and you can stay clear. Don't be just jumping out there. And you know something the Lord told me to do? He said, when I get ready, if I have to go out, he said, I read Psalms 91. I pray that over my life before I go out the door so I'll make sure I'm covered. There's no plague coming nigh my dwelling. So I do that. Do those things. Make those precautions. Make those sacrifices. Do it. Don't let the enemy tell y'all you ain't got time to do it. Yes, you do. Do it. Do it. Do it. And for those that are still having to get out every day and go to work, let us pray for them. Praise the Lord, Derek Sullivan. Bless those. Let us pray for those that still have to get out and go to work because we don't know what is in the air and what's in the atmosphere for them and all of that. Just pray. We got to pray for everybody. Keep them on your heart and mind. Keep praying for them. Keep calling out to the Lord for them. In the name of Jesus, we got to do it. We got to do it. And those that are blessed to work from home, God bless the Lord for blessing you. But keep give that time. I get an hour. I get 3 hours of my day back because I was an hour and a half commute. I was working in Fort Worth. I live way over in DeSoto. So it took me an hour and a half to get to work every day just with the traffic. And so those 3 hours that I got back, I'm taking an hour and a half of them and cleaning this house. So I'm going through all these rooms. I made me a little list. Get a list of things to do. Make you a little list. Get your house purged and cleaned out, doing those kind of things. Some people paint. Some people doing what they do. But and then my other times, I'm spending in prayer. And times I'm getting to know God better. Do it. I'm telling you, when you come out of this, you're going to be glad that you did. You're going to have greater anointing. You're going to be more powerful. So you got all this time. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. God bless y'all. And I'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast talking about commitment. God bless you all.